We have two minds. One is our true mind. The other one is our mundane mind or thinking mind. So all this unique code is like a pointer to let you understand what that true mind is. Your true mind is actually your awareness nature within, which is beyond thought, beyond mind. So to realize your true mind or your self nature or awareness nature, you must understand all these codes. It will help you. So I will read through. To realize our self nature, how do you do it? You silence everything with no thought and relax, aware, maintain awareness. Then what happened? Like I explained just now. The very flowering of the thinking, the thought process is the very ending of it. So when you just relax, maintain awareness, and silence everything, then the original state of mind will return. Means you let it return to its original state, then you will realize your true mind or your self nature. So this one, I will have to maybe elaborate a bit. So like I explained just now, basically, as a human being, we have two minds. One is your thinking mind. So this thinking mind is also your mundane mind. And this one is not your true mind. Why? Because it's dependent on originating. If you are aware, you will come to understand this. But you have to be very mindful. You have to realize the true mind. Then only you can understand the difference between the two. The second mind is our true mind. This one is not dependent originating. This one is a nature within. It's just an awareness nature within. To realize this mind, you have to be completely quiet, still, and silent, without thought. And this one is without thought. This awareness is before the knowing, which is the arising of thought. So what is meditation? Meditation is to realize this true mind. Because this is the mind that is beyond the thinking mind, the mundane mind. That's why we're supposed to realize this true mind, which is beyond thought, beyond mind. So this one is beyond. So beyond mind, beyond thought. That's why the Dhamma that we're supposed to realize is akaliko, the timeless. So if you use thought, which is the thinking mind or the mundane mind, which is dependent originating, and this is what your thought process is all about. This one is the thought. You will end up in doing thought-based meditation. The instrument will limit you from realizing the Dhamma, which is beyond thought, beyond mind. So this is what the Buddha meant by akaliko. You have to understand this. If you don't understand this, you are wasting your time. You are being gullible, doing meditation without understanding. And this awareness nature is not a being. It's not a person. It cannot come out and live life. And this one is the unconditioned. It's not dependent originating. It's just that true mind, the nature within. Like your karmic nature, your spiritual nature. This one is your awareness nature. Because this thing which is inside there, they actually belong to the source, the oneness nature, the totality of awareness. And the first thing to come out is this awareness nature. That's why as a human being, when we are born into this world, we can detect this one. Yeah, this one is within our mind. But to detect this one, to realize this one, you need to stop the thinking. But thinking cannot be stopped without understanding. So as we know, the Buddha in his teaching taught us very clearly. Why do you think a lot? Why are living beings who are not enlightened or non-cultivated? They think a lot. They are very heedless. Why? Do you remember why? The Buddha mentioned it very clearly. Due to what? Ignorance, of course, is the basic behind. Because of ignorance, you arise what? What makes the mind think? Your essential Dhamma. You remember the Buddha always say, because of your avijja condition, what? Thinking lah. So thinking is what? Why do you think? Of course, ignorant. You want to know. You want to experience. You want to understand. You think. But it is due to the five mental hindrances. Remember? Without the mental hindrance, thinking cannot arise. Why? Because you lack the opposite five, which is the spiritual faculty. And what are the five spiritual faculty? They are all meditative state. You understand? Sadda, five spiritual faculties. What are they? Sadda, then Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya. You look at this five. They are all meditative state. When you have faith in the Buddha and his teaching, Sadda means what? Your mind is very calm, very composed because of that faith. You don't have doubt. You don't have restlessness. The faith is there. Understand? Then because of the faith, it drives you to cultivate. This virya is not an effort. It's not a thought process. It's a spiritual zeal, tenacity to go this way because you see the importance of it. That action is born of understanding. The understanding drives you, give rise to this virya inside there, which is a very strong energy. This one will prevent you from being lazy, sleepy, becoming lethargic. So Sadda and Virya are very beautiful spiritual faculty that make your mind composed, calm, and with the Virya to drive you to cultivate. Then you develop what? The first thing you train is Sati. And what is Sati? Awareness before the knowing, before the arising of the thought or the aggregates of mind. Means before you perceive, before you feel, before you create sankhara activity and thinking. That is what Sati is all about. As I said, Sati means relax, aware. When you are aware before you know something, that is Sati. That is the pure perception, the direct seeing, the silent mind without thought. And when you stabilize that silent mind, which is Sati, it becomes Samadhi. Means your mind not only tranquil, peaceful, quiet, it has stability. It's collected and unwavering. And because of that, this silent mind, which is akaliko without thought, has no word, no concept. That's why no duality, no like and dislike, no pleasant and unpleasant sensation or feeling, no like and dislike. All these things don't exist because there is no thought. That's why this one can lead to direct seeing. You can see things as they are, the pure perception. Before the knowing, you see, hear, perceive without the words, without the concept, without the movement of thought. That's why they are meditative state. Then you give rise to wisdom, which is panya, is an understanding. And this wisdom is the one that prevents you from being deluded, prevents you from thinking unnecessarily. You only think when you require to live life, when you need it to live life. Otherwise, thinking is not necessary. Because to live life, to go through life, you need to use the thought process, the thinking mind, the mundane mind. Because that one is within the conditioned world, the existential world. And that one is the five aggregate form of mind, the second aspect. And that one is subject to karma. It has mental intention and all this. And that's how the whole teaching comes about. So after you have this understanding, that's why I start to share with you all the unique code. And now you know why the unique code is developed in such a way. Before this understanding, you cannot understand what those unique Dhamma codes are. So hopefully, from now onward, maybe after explanation, it will signal. It will make you different. You will develop more and more understanding and faith. Because without all this understanding, actually living beings are gullible. Thought-based meditation take over. Before you develop the spiritual faculty, the opposite five, which are mental hindrance, will arise. And what are mental hindrance? Mind states that hinders your mind from entering the meditative state, prevent you from understanding spiritual teaching. That's why they are called mental hindrance. They hinders your mind from entering the meditative state. So as you all know, sensual desire, you will the first two already create duality. It means the mind stir and react to sense experience. And that one caused by the mundane mind. The true mind don't have all this movement. That's why you see the mental hindrance come from avijja, the lack of understanding. But these are your habitual tendency that you develop, the like and dislike, the pleasant and unpleasant sensation. You cling on to the duality. Yeah. You take the good. You don't want the bad. Yeah. You take the wholesome. You reject the unwholesome. You take the pleasant. You reject the unpleasant. So this is what the mundane mind that is deluded create that type of continuous habitual reaction to sense experience. That's why the first two mental hindrances, they are like all the time there. But throughout the day, you created them until they become what? Habitual. Habitual means every moment, every instant, you react and you stir your mind. So if every moment, every instant, you have this mental hindrance or sensual desire, you, how can you be in the meditative state? That's why people struggle to become peaceful, to become mindful, to become aware. Because they think a lot. And the only way to stop them is they go into thought-based meditation. They focus, they concentrate, they suppress the thinking. They go into concentration, one-pointedness, absorption. So all this is the result of lack of understanding. There's love and topper when they arrive. They don't know what to do. They don't know there is lack of faith and virya. If it's your body tired, you need to rest. You just rest, no problem. But if your body is not tired, every time you listen to Dhamma talk, you feel sleepy. Then something is wrong. Either it's coming obstruction or that mental hindrance is a result of your lack of affinity with the triple gem. You don't have the condition to receive this truth. But this one does not interest you. Understand? What interests you is the mundane thinking, the mundane aspect of life, how to become successful, how to become wealthy, rich, how to have the good life, all those things, how to be cunning, how to be competitive, how to be selfish, all this take over instead of developing the spiritual understanding to awaken, to develop the wisdom to free your mind from suffering. That's why the first three mental hindrances are already very powerful. The fourth and fifth is worse. When you have a situation and problem, your mind becomes restless. True or not? because fear, worry, anxiety make you restless. Insecurity, phobia, the lack of faith, panic attack, and all these things, it make you restless. The lack of peace. So all these are the projection of thought, the egoic mind that doesn't understand what is going on. Then, of course, the last one is doubt. When you have doubt, you cannot progress. You cannot develop the meditative mind. But doubt is a negative mental hindrance. The opposite of doubt is faith. When you have faith, your mind becomes very composed and very calm. Faith in what? In knowing who the Buddha is, how unique the Buddha is. He's not only enlightened, he's fully enlightened. And he developed all this understanding not through an idea, a philosophy. Or like most people thought, Buddhism is a way of life. No. He developed all this understanding through aeons and aeons and aeons of cultivation and perfection to become the Sammasambuddha. That's why he is not only enlightened, he's fully enlightened, complete in both wisdom and virtue. As such a being, you will have faith in him. You will have gratitude towards him. And from there on, because you see the beauty of his teaching, the depth of his teaching, and how transformative that teaching is. So through knowing who he is and how special a being he is, and the teaching that he come out to summarize to us all of life, like the whole of secret of life, the whole of life, mundane and super mundane. Then when you understand life, you can live life. You can free your mind from all the adversities of life or the noble truth realities or the first noble truth. So all this is how you should develop the understanding of the teaching. So the spiritual faculty, when they are there, automatically do away with the mental hindrance. So you don't have to fight the mental hindrance, suppress the mental hindrance. Like you don't want to have doubt, you don't want to have anger, you don't want to have craving, desire. That is not the understanding. What you need to understanding, as understanding, is why did they arise? How come they are in you, the mental hindrance? Is where you lack this five spiritual faculty. So the urgency is to develop this, then it automatically root it out. And this five spiritual faculty, like the word spiritual faculty, these are mind states that can allow you understand spiritual teaching, develop the meditation. Without the hindrance, you are automatically aware. And the mind stabilizes samadhi. That's why wisdom, panya, keep on arising. And this is what meditation is all about. Please wake up. Forget about what you used to do, learn, and all those things. Just understand. Assume you hear it for the first time. Find out whether this is something that actually fit into reality or not. You can say it's common sense when you come to understand. But when you don't understand, you can be trapped for very, very long. Okay, hopefully you all can understand. Now I read again the quote. I think by now it will be clear. So to realize our true mind or the self nature or the awareness nature within, what do? You just silence your mind. Silence your mind means what? Don't think. But with the hindrance there, you cannot stop thinking because the normal people who do thought-based, they try to force the thought to stop. They try to focus and concentrate so that there is no thinking, so that they develop peace, calmness. That's why they go into samatha. This is not sati, awareness-based. Samatha is concentration, jhanas, and all those things. That's why the Buddha, during his time, he learned from the two teachers, Alara Udaka. He reached the same perfection as those teachers. he finished, completed all the eight jhanas, the four form jhanas, the four formless jhanas. And he knew he is not enlightened. That's why he continues to strive on, develop his own understanding until he finally, underneath the Bodhi tree, that very auspicious night, he awakened to the truth. He connect to his inner nature. Then he inherited all the understanding. Then he realized the truth, which is beyond thought, beyond mind. Then he started to understand the form and mind, the five aggregate is not him. That one is dependent originating, condition arising, causal phenomenal, karmically conditioned out for him to come. That's why he got no more problem with the four signs that he saw. Then he realized old age, sickness, and death pertains to the physical form and mind, the five aggregate. Not him, not his true nature. That's why he free. He has got no more problem with old age, sickness, and death. That's why he taught us five daily contemplation. This physical body of ours is not the nature. To grow old, get sick, and die. For he has not gone beyond old age, sickness, and death. So this reality, we have to accept. We have to be at peace with it. We have to have the Dhamma understanding to see it clearly. Why the Buddha say is not you? Why the Buddha say is anicchang? When you attach and cling, it leads to suffering, to kang. And because it's anicchang, it's not a permanent, unchanging entity that you can cling on to, hold on to and say, this is me, this is I. Therefore, it's anatta. Non-self. And because it's impermanent and anatta, that's why it's no reality, empty nature of existence. So that is the deep meaning of the three universal characteristics of anicchang, dukkhang, and anatta. So silence your mind, no thought, relax into it, maintain awareness, then the true mind will return to its original state. Then you will realize your true mind or self nature. And it's just so simple. Why make it so complicated? Do all sorts of funny things without understanding. The moment you realize this, you know how powerful this meditation is or not. It straight away take you to the first hallmark of winning. What is the first hallmark of winning? Yeah? What is the first hallmark of winning? Ah, no thought. Wu nian. So the true mind is without thought. It's just an awareness nature. So when you realize this, you realize the first hallmark of winning. So winning is the sixth patria. Huh? Sixth patria. The moment you realize this, you will have a glimpse or what that true mind is. But this is just the true mind, the silent mind, the awareness nature within. This is not Nibbana yet, understand? Although this is also without thought, but the awareness is still there. Nibbana is when awareness also ceases. The whole form of mind ceases. Then there is the realization of Nibbana. That one is the unconditioned. Yeah. Then there is completely no word, nothing. That's why you cannot describe that state. You cannot express it. You cannot say anything about it. Whatever you do to try to express it is to create the negation of what it is not. That's why they have to use the word beyond thought, beyond mind, complete cessation of form and mind. Then what are all these? Not until you develop the understanding to meditate and let it happen. Then when the mind realizes itself and sees, that's how it arrives. And how does the mind realize that itself? Because it's no more avijja, rooted out. Your wisdom already very stable. That's why you will come to an understanding. Think also like that, don't think also like that. Your everything is empty, kong sing, no reality, not what you think. That's why it's the phenomenal world of consciousness. It's just mind make, come and go, arise and pass away. The only reality within life or existence is just the present moment. Because we have gone through. The past is already gone, no more reality. Future yet to come, also no more reality. So the only reality is the here and now moment. The present moment, this moment. And how stable is the present moment? Split second is gone, dead and gone. And that is the only reality. So how true can life be? That's why I do not be deluded. See this clearly and wake up. Everything is just arising and passing away. Moment to moment, life passes by. What are you doing? The human being, they are too busy thinking, planning, and worrying about life, getting themselves entangled with life. Whereas the true mind doesn't think. It is completely still. You have to go to that nature to understand, to meditate. Because that nature can observe and see how the mundane mind create havoc in the living being. How it create delusion and condition you into negativity. How living beings suffer, become afflicted. You can see it clearly only through the true mind, the silent mind, the awareness nature within. That's why Jay Krishnamurti also call it the choiceless awareness. When you are just aware without any choice, without any thought that want to do this, want to do that, yeah, or want to suppress this, want to suppress that. That is the thought. But when you are silently observing without thought, what happened? Through that observation, which is choiceless, means without the mundane mind involved, it awakens. That's why this true mind, the silent mind, can awaken, can insight into phenomena, awaken to the three universal characteristics of nature, anicca, dukkha, anatta. And this is basically what meditation is. That's why without the silent mind, without the true mind, and this is also the meditative mind, you cannot realize the truth. Yeah, this is the instrument that can lead to the timeless, akaliko. The other thought-based instrument limits you. Yeah, it's thought. You use thought as the basis or instrument to meditate. How can you realize a state that is beyond thought? Yeah, everything is within the field of thought. The whole movement is thought-based. So understand this, and not to be gullible or deluded anymore. Okay? Hopefully after today, you all can develop that clear understanding and have faith.